Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh by FindMassMoney.gov, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good. You know, I'm still a little bit sleepy from my long zoning board meeting last night.
Are you on the zoning board? Or?
I am.
You are?
Oh, wow. I am. Yes, really? we had major decisions last night about people's future and their real estate and all that kind of stuff.
So you're a public servant. This is all volunteer?
I wouldn't call myself a servant to anybody, Greg.
All volunteer, or do you get a stipend of some
sort? No, it's strictly a volunteer deal.
Okay. Are you able to, potentially a Boston City Councilor, able to get any bribes or any kind of...
Well, I haven't been offered any, but I'm open to offers, that's for sure.
What were you guys voting on? Like some new golf course, or
an abutter to a commercial property that was unhappy with the deal that they signed. They didn't think the commercial property, which is just recently built up like a warehouse, and they didn't put in the trees that would shield them from the abutter's property, and they were supposed to be white pine trees like 8 feet apart, and they were not planted properly. I voted in favor of the abutter.
I want to get to the Bruins because everybody will be yelling
at me. You don't want to talk about pine trees anymore?
No, I want to ask, when it comes to the tinfoil hat and the conspiracy side of things, what are, in your mind, the drones in New Jersey?
You know what? Before I get to what are the drones, what the hell is the rest of the government doing? Shoot them mothers down.
Right, shoot them.
get rid of the damn things or find out what they are. Right. For 3 weeks we've been, unless they have some communication with, alien beings that say, if you shoot us down, we're going to melt you or whatever they do.
Right, laser. They probably have some.
I don't know. I mean, but
laser.
In the meantime, I'm not a pacifist.
No, but I mean, maybe we can't shoot them down. Like there must be some.
Well, it's pretty interesting that they go dark when somebody comes near them, or they start. Yeah. That speaks to me of a different universe of some kind. But I'm certainly curious, and I'm glad they're not over my house in Mashpee.
They don't go dark when you have a cell phone, though. That's
Listen, you're a guy on another topic of importance this morning. You're a guy who coached in professional sports for a long time. Do you think it's going to be difficult for Bill Belichick, his most recent experience being in the NFL, to relate to and have success with these college football players at UNC?
Yes, is the answer. But, he just went through a radical change in his life when the Patriots let him go. It had to be jarring, had to be unnerving. And then on top of that, he gets no offers. from any viable team. I mean, you would think that with his pedigree, with his history, that he would get a ton of offers, but he doesn't. And now, so he says, "What the heck?" And you know, he'll have comfortable circumstances. He won't have that much pressure. He'll have a lot of adulation. He'll have a lot of pain in the ass people to shake hands with. But you know, if you can get through that or limit it, and I'm sure with his 400-page manifesto, he's got something there about how many appearances he has to do. He should be okay. He should be great. He'll be coaching, and coaching is coaching no matter what level.
All right. Well, heading into Tuesday night, I think it was Shimes' lead. Many were suggesting this was a legit test when it comes to the Joe Sacco-led Boston Bruins when you're playing Winnipeg, and that's the first good team, first legit team they had played since that change was made. They get blown out. Where are you now on this team?
Yeah, pretty much where I was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, which is that they have a giant hole in the middle, and they're not going to be a contender until they address that. And they could polish up the sidelines and the wings and defense or whatever, but they don't have enough in the middle. I mean, this Elias Lindholm has been a bust. 3 goals and, what, 10 assists? I mean, this is not what you pay $8 million for. Not to mention Zadorov, who's been, you know, once in a while he hits somebody, but the rest of the time he's in the penalty box or making really what I think are inefficient and not very studious plays on the ice. I mean, they look like they had grasped a concept of defensive efficiency under Joe for, you know, for the last seven and two. And then they hit this bump in the road, and Winnipeg is a legit contender. I mean, they've fallen on a little bit of a hard time recently. I think they were 4-6 in their last 10 after a ridiculously hot start, but they clearly have talent. And the Bruins, for whatever reason, weren't ready. And I read that they felt their practices weren't good. Well, you know, I have to tell you, that's on the coach. I'm a big fan of the coach. You know, I've known him for a long time, and I think he's going to do a pretty good job, as good a job as he can with the tools that he's given. But if the practices are sloppy and things aren't paid to detail, attention's not paid to detail, then it is on him. And I saw it from Marchand, and I saw it from Joe Sacco himself. They weren't happy with their practices. Well, take a look in the mirror, buddy, because that's your job.
Mike, one of the things that we talked about with Bill potentially not having another job is his inability to maybe work with front office people. What's it like in hockey? I know it's a different sport, but have you ever been involved, and it seems like maybe there's something that could be going on with the Bruins, where front office and coaching don't see eye to eye when it comes to certain players? What is that like?
You know, when I stopped playing and I went to see my boss, Harry Sinden, and I said I wanted to get into management. You know, I'm not that stupid. I didn't want to be a coach because you get fired every 2 years, right? And then you got to move your family and all that stuff. And he said, well, if you want to be a manager, you've got to learn coaching. So he sent me to Maine, and I was general manager and coach of the Maine Mariners, and it was an incredible learning experience. I mean, just an incredible learning experience. And if you have not coached, you really don't understand the mechanics of it, the emotions of it, whatever it is. And it was the best thing that I ever did in my professional hockey career. And it took a while to adjust to be a coach. And I think it takes a while for people to understand just how difficult it can be, as you know, Wiggy. And you know, the Bruins have two guys in management situations that have never coached.
Joe Sacco's been a head coach.
Sacco's been a head coach, yeah. But I was talking about the management
about
side.
About Don Sweeney.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for them to grasp how things work in the locker room, how difficult it is to manage, and especially since the guy in the locker room is the guy that's, you know, he's the guy that's trying to drive the bus with your players. probably hasn't had much input. It has had a little input, but so I think they have to understand what he's going through, and I don't know that either one of them can fully grasp that because they've never done it before. It's really the dynamic between management and coaching is really fluid and depends a lot upon the experiences of both parties.
Rank playing, coaching, and being an executive in terms of jobs you enjoyed doing.
There's nothing like playing. There's nothing like being, you know, in the pit. You know, it's so, I mean, and with a teammate that you really like, a bunch of teammates that you really like, there's no question. And then you take one step back and you're coaching, and but you're still, you know, you're not in the pit, but you're close to it. And one step further removed is management, which is satisfying, and but not anywhere near, you know, the whole thing is about the game. And if you're playing the game, you should be the happiest you've ever been. And if you're the coaching the game, you should be second happiest, in my opinion. But you're still part of it, and you can still influence it. And you still influence it as a manager, but there's nothing like playing.
Jeremy Swayman had an awful night the other night. I mean, they all did. But
Greg, I'm going to stop you there if you don't mind. Sorry to interrupt you. The first, like, three or four goals were so pathetically poorly defended.
Yeah.
And ricochets off shin pads and that sort of stuff. And then I think there's a kid who was fighting to get his confidence after a young man had a very public battle with management, not feeling, you know, good about himself in some ways or feeling a little defensive. And he's fighting to get his confidence back. And he's got in front of him, you know, a very porous defense. And the penalty killing was god awful the other night. I mean, so methodical and slow and not really in any way what I would call an efficient use of their time on the ice. And Joe Sacco is a penalty killing expert, but he has to see it. But I thought Swayman was on the way back, and then he got discouraged after the first three, four goals, and who wouldn't? And then he let in a couple of clunkers, but I thought the game was out of hand when that happened.
So if, your question. If you look at him, at Jeremy Swayman struggling, you would put that more on his confidence issue, or he's still upset about what he had to hear when they were talking about where he could improve, or and not on training camp, not on missing training camp.
It's training camp is too far in the rearview mirror now. I don't think there's any shouldn't be any impact of this. I think the team's struggles have compounded his own personal struggles, and I think the mind is a terrible thing to waste, right? And his mind right now is like, I don't think he really feels comfortable with his teammates or comfortable with the defense in front of him or with his game. When somebody scores from below the goal line, as they did in Winnipeg the other night, you know something's wrong, because this kid is mechanically, when I've seen him on his game, he's been as incredible as a mechanical goaltender, moving side to side, gearing up for the angles, making everything look easy. And when somebody scores from behind the goal line, you know something's amiss.
Mike, and football, where we criticize the coach a lot for penalties, especially, you know, pre-snap penalties, they put that on the coach. But when you look at this Bruins team, they're the most penalized team in the NHL, and it's by a pretty good amount. Where does that come from?
I think it comes from two things: skating, quickness or agility, I guess all included in that, and intelligence, because you want to put yourself in a position where you can ride somebody into the wall and not take a penalty. But if you're a half step behind, you're reaching, and then you put yourself in a position where the referees can make an easy call. So I think it's quickness, it's intelligence, and maybe I should add a third thing, a little bit of discipline. Because you know when you're in a vulnerable position, a weak position, and if you have to resort to a hook or a hold or something like that, you know you're going to get the 2 minutes.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's, you know, your arms are outstretched 90% of the time, especially now in this wimpy rule about slashing. When you hit a guy on the stick and you get 2 minutes, which still baffles me, you have to understand that that's the way it goes and learn from it. But they haven't been able to do that.
So is that like a front office thing, not being able to reckon? Because when you bring up discipline and not like a lack of focus, is that the front office not being able to recognize players that could be lacking those two things? Or is that coaching not being able to get
it out of them?
Yeah, like, or is it just the player can't get past that? That's just who he is as a player.
I think it's a combination of things, but in the end, it's on the player. It's on the coach first, because we talked about this. So you're closest to the pit. You know, you're the one in the action. You're the one that has to be responsible for what goes on. But listen, I can't tell you that you can absolve the guys upstairs who pay Elias Lindholm for, you know, 13 points after a third of the season, and for Zadorov, who leads the league in penalty minutes. These guys are just, they're not living up to the hype. And so that's where management has to take responsibility. But in the meantime, you know, if Zadorov is taking penalty after penalty, sit his fat ass down.
Mike Milbury, you always live up to the hype. So thank you for taking the time this morning. Thanks. I will not be here next week, next Thursday. I'm here through Wednesday. So happy holidays. Merry Christmas. I hope you get everything you want and more.
Thanks. I've already got everything I need.
Oh, fantastic.
It's pretty good.
I will not send my gift then. I will. I had one that was going in the mail.
If it's red wine, please send it.
All right, Mike, thank you. And Courtney is at jury duty here at Shine with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Subaru of New England. The big news of the last 24 hours, Bill Belichick, officially the new head coach of the University of North Carolina. He is going to sign a 5-year deal with the school to be a head coach in the NCAA. He's also bringing along his good old pal, Mike Lombardi, with him to become the GM of the football program. The other news in town, the Red Sox made a big trade yesterday. They traded for Garrett Crochet, big left-handed pitcher from the Chicago White Sox, 25-year-old pitcher. He was a first-round pick in 2020. They sent a couple prospects, including one of their top prospects in catcher Kyle Teal, to the White Sox. The Bruins are back in action tonight on the road. They're in Seattle to take on the Kraken. Puck drop for that one is at 10. The Celtics have the Pistons at the TD Garden tonight. Tip is at 7:30. And we got another banger on Thursday Night Football. Rams and Niners kick off at 8:15. You can catch all the action right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Thanks to the coverage from Westwood One. That trending was brought to you by Subaru of New England. Get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. Visit SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Scheimer. Feels like 29 afternoon, high in the upper 30s.